Welcome to Church Unusual, Matthew chapter 16. And I told you we were going to go through this a little bit. We're going to do a little reading today. Matthew chapter 16. Now, what I want you to do, if you're in this class as Church Unusual, then last year you should have taken Living by the Book. And so there's some things that we're going to do today that we learned in the Living by the Book class as far as paying attention to where we are, who we're talking to, why we're saying the things that we are, the context clues and all those things. And so one of the main things I want you to do is while we're doing this is I want you to pay attention to I want you to find the current state of church, the modern church, the current state of church, and then you can look for the state of it, and I'll point out some things, and then where it should be. So now we're reading chapter 16. We'll start off with verse 1. We usually jump to the other part, but I wanted to start off with verse 1. And he says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, you can do some research on them. You know who they were. But the Pharisees and Sadducees sound like the super-duper religious, lawful people that are in church that want everything to stay the same and don't want anything to change or move forward. As those people, okay? Tempting and desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Now, if that don't sound like church, I don't know what does. We need a sign. We're looking for signs and miracles and wonders. We always want a sign. Verse 2, and he answered, said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, because you know so much. Find a church. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there no sign shall be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. So you know, they mad. He said, y'all not going to get a sign. Y'all want the signs, and want the signs, and want the signs, and want the signs. And to get a sign, you're not going to get a sign. And when the disciples come to the other side, they have forgotten to take bread. Listen to what I'm saying. And Jesus said unto them, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, he's not talking, I'm just going to explain it in a second. He's not talking about bread. He's talking about the leaven. I think the leaven was what they had in there to make the bread a certain way, make it rise a certain way. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Verse 7. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Watch this. Verse 8. And if we pay attention, I want to say this. If we pay attention, many times in church, we don't pay attention to Jesus. What? Yes, we don't pay attention to Jesus. We really don't pay attention to what he's saying. We want him to be our savior. We want him to be our deliverer. You want him to heal everybody in the room and save the day. But you don't want to do everything that he's saying and build the church the way that he's saying to build it. We want to build it off of every other prophet or preacher and every other story in the Bible, but then when Jesus comes and starts talking about deny yourself, which we're going to talk about in a little while, it gets a little difficult for everybody. Verse 8, when Jesus perceived, he said to them, like, when he perceived, like, wait, what are y'all, wait, I just told y'all beware the leaven of the Pharisees, and y'all think I'm talking about bread. Oh, ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you not brought bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves? All right, I never seen this before. He said, oh, watch this. Oh, I never seen this before. Oh, this is real time, y'all. Wow. He said, do you not yet understand? I always thought he was saying, watch this. I always thought he was saying, y'all don't remember the, no, he said, do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Question. Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? A question. Verse 12 said, then understood they how he had bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So here Jesus is saying, you still don't understand? You still don't understand what this is all about and how this works? And what I'm really doing? So now we're going. So Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked the disciples again, whom do men say that I the Son of Man am? Because I got to test y'all. Because I'm walking around here with y'all, and I thought we was down. I thought y'all knew what we was talking about. I thought when I talk to people, I didn't think I had to talk to you about the same thing, because I thought you were understanding because you were with me. But were you really with me? Feels like that in church sometimes. That's why we got to have a class called Church Unusual, because it feels like that sometimes. Like, why is it that you calling me to come and say, I thought you were with me. If you were really with me, with God, all things are possible. If you were really with me, then there wouldn't be so much brokenness and bustedness and sickness and disease and confusion and all kind of things running rampant in the church. If you was with me. I gotta ask y'all a question. Who do men say that I am? I the Son of Man am. And here they told on themselves and they started telling the truth. And here some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. In other words, they exposing themselves that they really been talking to people about who Jesus was and letting people tell them who they thought he was and really having these discussions. He said to them, but whom say ye that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. And I'm going to break this down in another class, because really, he's really saying you too. Some flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee. And he's really trying to say, I'm going to say the same thing to you that you just said to me. That thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then, verse 20, he charged the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Wow. I couldn't convince the church of verse 20. Don't go tell nobody. Don't go tell nobody that he's Jesus the Christ. Don't he said, don't go tell nobody? Wow. Verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief of priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. I want y'all to catch on to these. Then Peter took him, to find the church, his church, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. And we quick to rebuke something. Rebuke, 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 rebuke. Now, Jesus is trying to show him how the church works. He's trying to show him how the true church really works and how the true church really looks. But because Peter had a way that he thought about it, then it caused him to rebuke Jesus. And I want to, let me ask a question. It's going to be a strong question. Are we in today's modern church rebuking Jesus? When Jesus expects it to go a certain way, or certain things come in our lives, or certain things come up in a certain way, we say, no, we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. We rebuke that. We don't want it to go that way. Are we rebuking Jesus, even though he's explaining to us that from the time before Jesus began to show his disciples, verse 21, how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief of priests and scribes, the elders and the chief of priests and scribes, that's church people, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Jesus is describing him how the church works. How the true church works. If you're the true church, you won't be accepted by the mainstream. He's explaining it to them. But they can't understand. Peter can't understand it. Why can't Peter understand? Listen to what I'm trying to say. Why can't Peter understand? And he's going to call him something in a second. Why can't Peter understand it? Peter can't understand it because even though he spoke up and said he had the revelation, Peter still had the leaven in him. He still had the Pharisaic and the Sadduceic ways on the inside of him and still believed along that line. He's a good old Pharisaic, Sadduceic church boy. So when Jesus begins to show him a new way, he goes, no, that's not going to happen to you, Lord. And Peter has several different reasons why he say that, because he with Jesus. So, you know, they beat Jesus, they got to beat him up too. He ain't trying to have that. He not trying to die. He definitely trying to preserve his life, right? But Peter represents what the mainstream church is like. Peter rebuked him. 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Wow. Call him Satan. For thou art an offense to me, a stumbling block. You're in my way. You're stumbling me. You're making me stumble. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Find the mainstream church as usual. Not the church unusual. The church as usual. Find it for a second real quick. You're saving the things that be of men and not of God. You have more methodology and more terminology and more ways that the church is receiving from the outside than producing from the inside. It's the last cutting edge thing that the people on the outside were doing that the church was doing on the inside. So this is when we holler and scream and talking about we prophesying and throw all and all the kind of different stuff because we're trying to seem special. And all that still is falling short. Savior is not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. What things? And they're going to be taken. They're going to take me. And they're going to bring me to the elders and the chief of the church, the elders and the priests, chief of priests and scribes, and be killed. Right? You don't savor that. You don't think that's God's will for you to be killed or crucified or for you to die to that. And he calls him Satan. Then Jesus said to the disciples, any man, or if any will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, not my cross. We keep on, and follow me, we keep on talking about the cross, that Jesus' cross, and Jesus, the cross that Jesus bear. That was his cross. What about yours? He said, take up his cross and follow me. I found a word the other day. It's called, there really is not an English translation for the word out of the Aramaic or the Hebrew, for the word follow, disciples and followers were really the word to use. It's called to lead them. And it really means to take on your master's ways as yours. Like to take on, like to no longer have your own identity, but their identity be fully yours in every aspect of your life. Now what we do is, this is church, it's the leaven. What we do is we want to take the principles of Jesus, take the redemption of Jesus, take the atonement and take all the signs of wonder. We want to incorporate them into our ways of living, or we want to incorporate them into our lives. We want to keep our lives, but we want Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. But how can he be the Lord of your life? If Jesus is really the Lord of your life, you no longer, your life is not your own. You no longer have a life. You lose your life. He's going to say it in a second. Watch it. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. Shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So in other words, you have to lose your, you don't have a life anymore. Father God, bless my life. What life? You ain't got none. But we savor the things that be of men, be of God. Savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. We savor, and the way he says it, it's crazy. That he don't say, and we think is that, he don't say that, you want the things of men more than you want the things of God. He said, you don't even savor the things of God, but you savor the things of men. Wow. For the profit of man that he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what shall man give in exchange for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say to you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. In other words, they'll see the truth of the Son of God or the truth of Christ coming on the inside of mankind. But here he is, and you find church right here, you're savoring the things that be of men and not of God. You want what they have more than you want what God has. This is why I always say it is so difficult for people to pray the Lord's Prayer and just pray that prayer and pray alone, because they have trust issues. They really don't trust God for what he's saying. So I gotta pray the Lord's Prayer, but then add my little thing to it. Because God must not know that I want that, even though before the Lord's Prayer he said, for your Father know what you have need of before you ask. Let me give you a key. What you need is greater than what you want. See, your mind thinks needs, you think, you know, bare necessities, but the God's version of your bare necessities is greater than your extravagant, abundant thoughts of what you want. I'm going to say that again. I hope I can say it the same way. God's idea of your basic necessities are greater than your extravagant and abundant thoughts of what you want. What you need is greater than what you want, according to God. But see, we don't savor the things that be of God. We savor the things that be of men. So because we savor the things that be of men, we're looking for a certain kind of church, a big church, a bunch of members, great songs, great worship, and all these different things, and outfits, and all these different things, and you miss the point of what God is really doing when he's going to be delivered up to the chief of priests and the elders to be killed. Then he says, and to raise again on the third day. We can't even get to the raise again on the third day because you don't even want to go down and be killed. Take up the cross, follow me. And it goes on, and I could go on and on and on, but watch this. Watch this, watch this, watch this. If you slow down in this chapter and look, and we'll read some other things in the next class, we're gonna go into Ephesians chapter 4. If you slow down and look at what's going on in here, you can see the difference between the church unusual and the church is normal. You can see the explicit difference between the two. Even over in chapter 17, and you go down to chapter 17, and I want you to watch, and Peter is just going through, and remember, Peter is just going through it. We can even talk about Peter in the book of Acts, and he has some signs and wonders that happen, but he also gets in a discrepancy with Paul because he's still acting funny with people that ain't from their church. It's so laughable. In 17 to 6 days, after 6 days, Jesus taking Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bring him up to a high mountain, and was transfigured before them as Jesus. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto him them Moses and Elias talking with them. Verse 4, then answered Peter. Now I don't know, this sounds like the modern regular church as usual in the first place. It says, and then answered Peter. But what, nobody talking to you, Peter? How are you answering something when this conversation is not of you? I tell me if I'm reading right. Verse 3 says, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him, talking about Jesus. So at what point did you enter yourself into this conversation that had nothing to do with you, church? He said, he answered like they're talking to me. He said, Jesus. Tell them, Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. First of all, you ain't saying nothing that ain't nobody said before. I brought y'all here. Well, you don't think I know this already? What kind of grand, this is what we do too. What kind of grand announcement are you making? Your grand announcement doesn't make any sense. It is good for us to be, it's good for you to be here. That's why I brought you here. You're not telling me nothing. Why are you talking? This is how we talk to God sometimes. We pray and we try to pray and pray prayers and say things. Like I know already. I already know. What you need before you ask? I already know it's good for you to be here. Why are you making this grand announcement unless you're trying to pat yourself on the back and look bigger than what you are? And then look what he says. Watch this. I'm about to deal with your building fund real quick. I'm about to deal with you. I ain't got nothing against nobody building fund. But I'm about to deal with I've been in church all my life. I always say I'm a young man with an older man's experience. So I've seen a lot of things, met a lot of different preachers, been in a lot of different churches. A lot of different types of denominations. I've been seeing the building funds and I've seen them try to get the money from these people. I've seen people do it right, the people do it wrong. I've seen all kinds of things, okay? Listen to what I'm saying. And the reason, because it's a church starter kit. Get a building, then get a bigger building, then get a bigger building, then get a bigger building and do a building fund. Watch this. And it's like almost like you're not really having church unless you're doing that. Watch. He says, give us to be here, if thou will. Let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, he ready to build 3 tabernacles. He ready to build 3 churches. He doesn't even understand that he's in a place where he should be sitting down, shutting up, and submitting. There's 3 S's right there. And sometimes this is what you need to do. This is the current form of the church. You need to sit down. Y'all got to rewind it because I forgot the other one I said. Sit down, shut up, and submit. That'll be the 3 S's right there. 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for now. I want to know how Peter's going to get these 3 tabernacles built. Like, is he talking noise? How long is it going to take him to build these 3 tabernacles? Who is he going to have to get this money from to build 3 tabernacles? Or is he just excited? And while he yet spake, and I love that first 4 words, verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. In other words, I'm about to cut you off talking about building another building, talking about building a ministry, talking about all the building you're talking about doing. I'm about to cut you off because you don't even understand what's going on right here. I done brought you to a special place and you don't even know how to submit. You don't even know what's going on. I'm about to cut you off while you speak. In the middle of your talking, while he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice came out of the cloud and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. Verse 6, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were afraid. And Jesus came out and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. now when they lifted up their eyes, verse 8, they saw no man save Jesus only. And they came down from the mountain. Jesus charged them, saying, and the second time he charged them, chapter 16, did the same thing. Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. It's almost like Jesus is counterintuitive or counteractive to what we define the church to be at times. He said, shut up. Don't tell nobody the vision. Tell no man. Tell the vision to no man. Write the vision to make it. Jesus says, tell the vision to no man. This is powerful. I've never seen this before. Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Are you telling the vision of your ministry more than being risen from the dead? Are you telling the vision before you're risen? Good, put it down. Telling the vision before I'm risen. We're telling the vision before we're risen. It is exactly what we do. Let's start building, let's build something. And the voice of God comes down and says, this is my beloved son. You need to hear, in other words, shut up. You need to hear him. And the understanding is clearly you're not listening. You're here, but you're not listening. You're present, but you're not receiving the presence. This is Church Unusual Class. I'll see y'all next class.